May the grace of God and the peace of God rest upon us this morning. I want to greet each one in the precious name of Jesus this morning. I trust that our fellowship together would be inspiring, be challenging, also encouraging to walk that straight and narrow way, which we talked about in our Sunday school lesson. You know, the scripture does talk about another way, but it says there's a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is the way of death, way of destruction. And I trust this morning that as we fellowship around the Word of God, that we can truly walk the way of righteousness. You know, we live in a world that someone has said something about no absolutes. The scripture says in Timothy that in the last days, it says, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. And sometime I just encourage you to meditate and to decide what that is truly saying. What is it saying when it says men shall be lovers of their own selves? And I got a question I'd just like to ask at the opening, and I don't want you to write me off right away, but is there such a thing as just being a Christian? Is there such a thing as just being a Christian? In our mountain home there, you know, there's churches around, and they all say, we're Christian. You ask them if they're a Christian. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I think somebody said something about they think all ways is going to lead to glory. Well, I'm thankful that a true Christian is one that lives and walks with Christ. You know, we can be a spectator Christian, so to speak, if you want to use those terms, or we can be a true follower of Jesus Christ. A spectator is one that is close enough to see what's going on, but not to know what's going on. A follower is one who walks close enough to hear the heartbeat of the one that they're following. And this morning, brothers and sisters, that's what I'd like to encourage us in, is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ close enough to hear his heartbeat. So that we're not just a Christian, but that we are a true Christian. And the title of my message this morning is Beyond Requirement, is what I've titled the message this morning. Beyond the Requirement. Some time ago, I preached a message that the Christian's last name should be due. I picked this thought up in a letter or something. It was come there. That the Christian's last name should be due. Now, the scripture talks about that we should be doers of the word and not hearers only. So if your last name is due, that means that we have a responsibility to the word of God and to the one that we're following, the Lord Jesus Christ, to do and perform. But if we only do because we have to, and not because we want to, we're only doing just what we're required, just to get by. And I'm sure that Brother Leroy in his pallet shop, if he has people working there that's only working just to get a paycheck, and just to get by, the quality of their workmanship is only going to be the same way. And that's the way it is in our Christian lives. If we just live our Christian life just to get by, if there is such a thing, I think we're going to starve spiritually. We're going to be hungry spiritually. But you know, so many times in the scriptures there's words that we read, we look at. I'll give you just like the word if. if you ever go through the scripture and look at the word if, it's I call it the big little word. There's many truths that we can gather from the word if. And this morning, I would like to look at the word beyond. Webster's Dictionary says, beyond, it says, it's in a degree of exceeding or surpassing, proceeding to a greater degree, as in dignity, elevation in all behavior, excellence, or quality of any kind. The word beyond. In Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, that is requirement, that we are to live a life that we are willing to be proven, that we are holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. But then he goes on the second verse, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Ye might prove what is that. I don't have that last part. I want to get that right. Be ye transformed, but renew your mind. Be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed, renew your mind, that ye might prove what is that good and perfect, acceptable and perfect will of God. That is right. That is going beyond. That touches every area of our life. Many times we want to stop. Well, yes, we want the blessing of God. We want to walk with God. But whenever it comes down to where it touches our life in everyday experience, that's beyond requirement, so to speak. Maybe my terms is not right, but I'm thinking about going with God all the way, not just being satisfied with a half-hearted relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, but going with God all the way, all the way. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 2 and 3, it says, Jesus says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, he despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, you know, if Jesus would have just, you know, in the garden, he said, Father, if it would be possible, let this cup pass from me. You know, he was struggling there. He was a human being like you and I. He knew what he was facing. He was struggling there. But then it says, for the joy that was set before him. What joy did Christ see in the bitter cup that would give him the ability to go through the Calvary experience and do it joyfully? What was it? It was your soul and mine. It was our eternal life is what he did it for. He saw down through the years. He saw this church. He saw my life. He saw our lives. And it's because of that, beloved, he went beyond requirement. And he did it the whole way. It was complete when he was on Calvary there and he said, it is finished. It was finished. It was complete. It was all was necessary for you and I to experience the Christian life in entirety and to be able to live that out. Paul says in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, in verse 13, Paul says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the prize of the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, you know, sometimes it's hard for us to forget behind things that's happened, things that's transpired, things that we struggle with, you know, just to lay them down and forget them. But to go beyond requirement, we press. Paul said, I see Apostle Paul as a man who pressed into the Christian life. He wasn't satisfied to just take an easy road. He pressed into it. He walked it. He lived it. He talked it. Every part of his experience. But Paul pressed into it. And brothers and sisters, I'd like to encourage you to not just be satisfied with a half-hearted walk with God, but to press into it, to live it. Press into the Christian life. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the prize of the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. That's a true blessing. We also, in the Old Testament, we have the experience of Abraham and Isaac. Abraham, you know, was told to take his only son, the only son Isaac, and go out there on a mountain, and God says, I'll tell you where to go, and take your son Isaac and offer him for a sacrifice. Now, as I look over the group and I see children, I see young men, I see fathers, mothers, to think about taking one of our sons, if we only have one, and going to a place we don't even know of, but God's going to show us, and take them and go out there and offer them for a sacrifice. And as they were going, Isaac says, Dad, I'm just using my own words, here's the fire and here's the wood, the words of sacrifice. And Abraham says, God himself will provide a sacrifice. God himself. Abraham had to live a life beyond requirement to be able to say that to his son. And only knowing that he was supposed to slay his son for a sacrifice. But he said, God himself. How many experiences in our lives that we face and we can say, God himself has allowed this to take place in my experience. It takes a life of living beyond requirement to be able to see beyond the present, to look into the future, into the face of the unknown that only God knows. And be able to say, thy will be done. Thy will be done. We also have another character in the scripture. Joseph was a man that was many times his brothers read him wrong. His brothers heard his stories. His brothers, and they went about someone to kill him, others, and they finally sold him. They sold him down into Egypt to a man by the name of Potiphar. And of course, I don't need to tell you the story. You know the story, but the point I want to make is Joseph was a man that regardless of the circumstances, he did his best. He did beyond what was required of him. It says there in the scripture that Potiphar didn't even know what he had. He committed it all to Joseph, and he never even looked at what was under his hand. And Joseph performed his responsibilities beyond requirement. He did the best in the circumstances that he knew how. He did the best, even though he was away from home, and he was, you know, accountable to this man that he was actually a bought slave to. And he did his best there. The blessings of living beyond requirement. You know, a garden never gets taken care of sitting in the shade. Brothers and sisters, we are not promised an easy road to glory. We are not promised one without some roughness, one without some trials, one without some tests, One without out some cloudy days, cloudy skies and rainy days. We're not promised always skies that are blue. But we are promised grace for the day and strength for the trial. You know, a job well done can only be done as we keep on. And a Christian life well done can only be done as we keep on. Keep on keeping on and walking with God. Remember, most of the inventions in that we work with today, modern inventions, were accomplished by failure, by failure, by failure, by failure, but they kept on until something was accomplished. They worked beyond requirements. You know, sometimes, you know, do you ever get to the place that, well, you just feel like giving up? What's it worth? It's too hard. It's too hard. But remember, the end, it'll be always, there'll always be a blessing in the end, and God will bless you for keeping on. You know, as we were traveling up here, well, we went to Lancaster County first, and I looked at the alfalfa fields and the corn fields, and, you know, they looked lush and green. You know, in the land out here, there's nutrients to grow grass and to grow crops and things, but you don't find gold nor precious stones or things on the surface. And brothers and sisters, the only way we can live a Christian life by reading the Word of God and just, you know, take it at face value to a certain extent. But the only way to find true living gold and treasures in the Word of God is to dig deep. Dig deep in the Word of God. Make it a vital part of your life. Yeah, the requirement would be just to read a little bit every morning and to, you know, and to go your way and forget about what you read and everything. But when you dig deep, it's not how much you read, but what you do with what you read. Do you walk it? Do you live it? Do you talk it? Do you tell others about it? Would you stop and change your course of action in your work day to tell some soul about the Lord Jesus Christ, or to perform some act of duty for someone else along life's way? Digging deep into the Word of God is where true riches are. The same as it is in the earth out here. They dig deep and they find the gold. They find the treasures. They find the precious thing. So is the Word of God. I'd like to look at one more person in the Scripture who will live beyond requirement. And that person was Ruth. Ruth was a Moabitess. And her husband's name was Malan, and he died, and they went into another country because of famine. And whenever they returned back, the mother, Ruth, Naomi's husband died, Orpah's husband died, and Malan had died. And Naomi told these girls, go back to your homes, go back to your gods. And she was going home to her land. And Orpah did. Orpah returned. But the Scripture tells us in Ruth that Ruth clave unto her mother-in-law. She clave unto her. She says, my God shall be thy God, and where thou liest, I will lie, and there will I be buried. She wasn't required to look after her mother-in-law and take care of her. She wasn't required to, but she went beyond that. She even went out and she reaped in the fields after the reapers. And whenever a person reaped, we don't do anything. There's nothing like that happens today, that they go out and they gather the little bit on the ground after the reapers gather the sheaves together and put them on shocks. Then those days are basically gone many places. Maybe into some of the Amish community it still happens. But they gathered. And Boaz come on the scene and says, "Who is this?" And they said, "Well, this is Ruth, the Moabitess that come back from the land of Moab with Naomi." And she has. And then he went to her and he says, "It's been told me how you care for your mother." I'm using my own words. He says, "It's been told me how you look after your mother-in-law." And he tells his reapers, he says, "Let hands full fall on purpose for her." And I'm going to drop a nugget of encouragement here to fathers and mothers and husbands and wives. A principle of life and another step of living beyond requirement is that you could let hands full fall on purpose for your companion. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that you would on purpose do something, put something someplace. It might be a note. It might be a little gift. It could be anything. It might be a telephone call. It might be something, but you do something on purpose that would encourage your companion in the responsibilities and duties of their life. I call that hands full on purpose. And it's well worth it. It's well worth the time it takes, beloved. I'm telling you that. When I carried a lunchbox and I'd find a note in my lunchbox, it was better than the food by far. Encouragement is living beyond. When you encourage another, let's go beyond that. And encouragement, when you encourage another, that's going beyond requirement. You're not required to. But when you do that, maybe somebody's struggling, maybe somebody's under severe test. It's not what you say, but it's just that they know that you're there for them to do what you can. That's living beyond requirement. I said Ruth was the last one. I have two more here, and that was Caleb and Joshua. Caleb and Joshua were men that stood against all the others. Everybody else says, yeah, the land was flowing with milk and honey. But he said, there are giants in the land. And he says, we're just like grasshoppers before them. And Caleb and Joshua says, Nathan, let's go up at once. The Lord will be with us. And the rest of the people, they discouraged the people so that they could not go into the promised land. But Caleb and Joshua, they lived beyond requirement. They buried people for 40 years in the wilderness. Wouldn't you think they got tired of it? I'm sure they did. But they followed on with the Lord, and they were privileged to enter the promised land because they lived beyond requirement. They lived the true test of life. Now, let's get practical. What in your life is beyond that which you should be doing or are not? How long has it been since you have stopped what you're doing and changed your course of action for someone else? You know, we as Mennonite people, we usually have our day mapped out. We know what we're going to do. We know how we're going to do it. And we go about doing it in a way that the world stands and gazes at. But sometimes we're called to stop. What about the man that fell amongst thieves, was going from Jerusalem to Jericho, and it says he fell amongst thieves, and they left him by the side of the road half dead? The church people come along, and one looked at him, another passed by on the other side. And then it says a Samaritan, one that was despised of the people, came, and it says he went where he was, and he knelt down. This man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho too. He had business to do. And it says he knelt down, he poured oil on his sores. He loaded him onto his donkey. He took him back to where he come from, to an inn, and he paid the man to take care of this man. And he says, what thou spendest more when I return, I will repay thee. That's living beyond requirement. Now the question I have is, when have you done that last? When have you done that? When have you went down the road and you saw somebody in trouble and stopped to help? And I realize sometimes that can be a little risky in our day. I'm going to give you one experience that I had. My wife and I had, we were at Walmart one evening, and we were at the checkout counter, and there was this young lady in front of us. She had two cans of Similac. The cashier rang it up. She didn't have enough money to pay for it. She said, she started, told the cashier to just take it. Well, somewheres there was a child that needed that Similac. Now, the question comes to me, is this for me to walk through this door? Is God asking me to walk through this door? Or is it just one of those things that happened? I knew the lady was poorly clad, but I knew there was a child that needed that. And I told the cashier, I said, I will pay for this. I said, just put it on my bill. Let her have it. And the lady just looked at me. I don't even know if she said thank you, and took it and walked out the door. But this is the point I want. It's not what I did. The point I want is that just a chance? Or did God put that opportunity there to see what I would do with it? And I'm sure that if I would ask, you all would have some experiences just like this. Beloved, that is when we live the Christian life beyond requirement, we will see doors to walk through to aid and to strengthen and to help another soul on life's pathway. It might be a word of encouragement. It might be a good deed for them. It could be many things. But don't let those opportunities go without walking through the door. I'm going to give you one more experience. We had a young man working for us. And he was a burn victim. His body was burned at some point or another. The stories were never quite the same of how he got burned. But his body was burned, and his skin was scarred to the place. He pulled his shirt up one time. His skin was just all scarred. And the only place he was sweat out was out through the top of his head because of the scars on his body. And he worked in our flooring mill there. One morning my son called me and said that Johnny was killed last night. I said, what? Johnny was killed. Him and another boy was out drinking, and they run into a tree. Right away, I thought about it. I never asked Johnny if he knew the Lord. I was smote to the heart. Johnny was dead. He was gone. The reason I give this is sometimes we lose opportunities when we never have the opportunity again. I did have the opportunity to have a message at his funeral service. We had his funeral service. We went to the home. My son and I went to the home, and I just asked the mother if we could sing at the funeral, and she said, "No, you can just do it all." So we had the funeral, we had the graveside service, and we sang. But the point is, that's beside the point. The point was, I didn't tell Johnny about Jesus. Don't ever lose an opportunity to go beyond requirement. It's our call. As a true Christian, Jesus does not do this, does not give us every responsibility. I'm going to read you something. Did you ever, I'm sure you've read this in Matthew. I'm not going to read it, for it's a lengthy. In Matthew chapter 9, did you ever look at Jesus' life, how he worked with people? I call it, Jesus lived the life of people stops. In Matthew 9, Jesus there, it says in verse 2, he said he met the needs of the sick of the palsy. Verse 10, he met the needs of Matthew, setting the seat of custom. Verse 18 of the lead, he says, "My daughter is dead." And he met that need. He raised her daughter. In verse 20, it was a woman with issue of blood. And she touched the hem of his garment. And he met the need of the woman with the issue of blood. In verse 27, it says that two blind men he met. And he made them two men see. And in verse 32, it says that a dumb man, possessed of the devil, and he met that need. And you know, he went about healing these sick people all the time. And he told his disciples in chapter 10, verse 7, "And as ye go, preach the gospel, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out the devils. Freely ye have received, freely give." Beloved, that's living beyond requirement. Freely ye have received, freely give. That's what we are called to do. We have the rich young ruler. He failed the test. Whenever Jesus asked him about what he did in his life, he says, "Well, all these things I've kept from my youth up." And then Jesus says, "One thing thou requires. One thing. That thou lackest." And this was when Jesus was telling him to live beyond requirement. He says, "Go sell what thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven." And he failed the test. The question to me and to you this morning, will we fail the test? Or will we live beyond requirement? Does your obedience to God, to the Word of God, go beyond requirement? Do you live a joyful life? Do you work joyfully? Does your life show an attitude of second mile Christianity? Do you show respect? Something that is lost in our day is respect. Do you show respect? Thank you. Have a good day. You know, excuse me. Do you open the door for others? You know, how's your life? Pick up for others. Did you ever see someone in trouble and tell someone, you know, just put that on my account and let this person go? Beloved, Jesus did that for you and me. He did that for us. Why not do it for someone else? Why not do it for the down and out, the beggars. You know, why not do it for them? Have you lost any sleep for the sake of a soul? Pray. Putting God first place in your life. I'd like to read the words of a song in closing. I'm sure you've all heard it, all sang it. It says, I am satisfied with Jesus. He has done so much for me. He has suffered to redeem us. He has died to set me free. He is with me in the trials. Best of friends of all is He. I can always count on Jesus. Can He always count on me? I can hear the voice of Jesus calling out so pleadingly, go and win the lost and straying. Is He satisfied with me? When my work on earth is ended and I cross the mystic sea, oh, that I could hear Him saying, I am satisfied with Thee. I am satisfied, I am satisfied. But the question comes to me as I think of Calvary, is my Master satisfied with me? Let's be on prayer.